It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A survey by Pew Research Center finds that Americans think tipping is expected in more places these days, but the rules and the etiquette about how and when to tip, that's unclear. As we discuss tipping culture, be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Courtney Norris is an assistant professor of hospitality and tourism management at Oklahoma State University. Courtney, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so Pew finds people who have worked tip jobs in their lifetime, they're more likely to leave a tip themselves. What do you make of that? How does working in a tip job encourage people to tip more?
Yeah, that's a pretty common result in a lot of the research that I've seen as well. And I would say it's, shared experiences. Mm-hmm. We know what it's like to have worked in those types of jobs and how grueling and how difficult it can be. And so you kind of pay it forward. And I found that in my own research as well, when people were saying, I asked people the same question, like, do you tip more? And they're like, oh, absolutely. You got to pay it forward. They say generally they'll tip people who have been servers or bartenders previously in their life, they'll tip about 25%. And if it's bad, they'll still even tip 20%.
Hmm. With inflation, rising prices, should people be leaving higher tips?
I think yes, but maybe not in as many places as currently are asking for tips on their digital screens.
Hmm. What is going on with those digital screens? Like, how has this proliferation of cashless payment methods affected tipping?
I think it's made it so much easier to just add that screen at any kind of checkout because it's an option. And because these digital payment systems have those capabilities, they're like, okay, cool. Let's add that to the screen. Why not? And, you know, I asked some of my friends, I'm like, what's the craziest place you've seen tip requests? And they said the gas station and their esthetician's office and random places where you would normally have never seen that tip line before are just popping up. And I think it's just because of this proliferation of these digital payment systems, more than I think anything, it's become an option. So why not add it?
Okay. So, Courtney, like, just lay it on here. How rude is it to select no tip when the employee is right there in front of you?
I mean, I feel the same kind of, you know, social pressure or the, you know, having to comply with social norms of tipping. However, I think the biggest question to ask yourself in those situations is, you know, how much is that person actually making? And the people at like Starbucks or like counter service places, right? Starbucks, Panera, those places, they're all making generally the federal minimum wage or more. The difference is that food servers in sit-down style restaurants or bartenders in those restaurants are only making, in most states, every state kind of has a different rule, but most states they're making $2.13 an hour and are expecting tips to kind of bring them up to the standard $7.25 minimum federal minimum wage.
And the floor here in Wisconsin is $2.33 an hour, the minimum wage for tipped employees. So, you know, if the expectation of tipping rises, how could that affect what employees pay in base wages?
I'm sorry.
If you see more tipping, then what does that do for employers who are paying those base wages?
I mean, and more than anything, it increases their revenue. And I think the second question to ask when you see those digital tip payment amounts in places where you normally wouldn't see them is who is getting that tip? Because mm-hmm. in some cases, the employees may not be getting those. They could be going to managers. They could be going to store revenues. And so that may be presented as a tip, but that doesn't mean that the employee who's standing right in front of you is actually making that money.
We're talking about tipping and tip culture. Courtney Norris with us, assistant professor of hospitality and tourism management at Oklahoma State University. You can join in. Questions and comments are welcome. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mark in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Mark.
Hello. I'm a worker that kind of my wages are supplemented by tips. I'm a tour guide in Milwaukee. And I think, you know, it's a service that we actually provide. And, you know, some people are concerned about, well, when do I tip? Well, I think if a service is directly provided to you and somebody's going, you know, above and beyond, they should receive a tip. But, you know, when they hand the food over the counter to you and they say, well, now do you want to do a 25% tip? You know, people are a little leery about that.
So you feel like after a great tour guide, that is an appropriate time at that departure to be able to reflect on how that experience has been? Is that what I'm hearing, Mark?
Yeah. Exactly. That's right.
Courtney, what do you think about that timing? I mean, if tipping is an indication of the experience or the performance, how are you to decide, you know, what to tip when that experience is just being handed to you in that moment?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, tour guides definitely, you know, make an experience. And food servers and bartenders and cab drivers even are similar, that it's about the experience that you have when you're there. And so, you know, tipping that's commensurate with what you feel is, you know, appropriate. You could use, you know, how much did the tour cost and do a percentage based on that, or just, you know, a flat rate, $10, $20, you know, your tour guide went above and beyond. You know, you want to shower them with some appreciation for that extra effort, then, you know, you go a little bit more. But, you know, I think we really have to look at the experience that's been given to us and what that meant to us and assign a dollar value, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. So it's easier to look at a total amount and add a percentage to it generally, like you would do in a restaurant.
Mark, thanks so much for calling in. Let's go to Bonnie in Brookfield. Bonnie, hi. What is your perception here?
Hi. So I was a waitress, and I usually went above and beyond. If I get a poor server, doesn't do their job, doesn't check on us, rude, I will not tip them 20%. I will tip them accordingly. If they are a superb server, I will tip them what they deserve. And I will also tip in cash, so I know there's no confusion about who's going to get that money. But I will not feel guilty, having been part of the service industry, tipping what they deserve based on their performance.
Bonnie, how do you feel about tipping before or after tax?
I feel like it's a horse apiece. It's not going to make a huge difference.
Okay.
So, yeah, I'm not going to scrutinize it.
Courtney, what do you think of Bonnie's approach?
Yeah, I think she's right. You know, before or after research tax, it doesn't really make a huge amount of difference. And I think, yeah, there's a lot of servers, former servers out there who say, you know what, you didn't do your job very well and you don't deserve to be compensated for it. And others, you know, the other group who will just tip 20% no matter what, you know, are just wanting to, you know, they understand that maybe it was a bad day. Maybe they, you know, had a bad customer before them. It's so situational in serving tables and who you're interacting with and how that affects your mood. And so, you know, they generally will just say, hey, it may have been an off day, and they'll give 20% anyway.
Courtney Norris studies tipping behavior as an assistant professor in the School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Oklahoma State University. Call in with a question. You can add comments along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. How are tipping expectations changing? We're in conversation with a hospitality researcher who studies the nature of tipping, and we explore your tendencies towards service workers. Be part of the discussion. Call in with a question, share thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Courtney Norris is here, assistant professor in the School of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Oklahoma State University. Courtney, Pew Research says about 30% of people who haven't worked in tip jobs say it's not at all easy to tell when to leave a tip. Where should people be leaving tips?
That's a great question. And most definitely, tips should be left for food servers in sit-down restaurants and bartenders as well. Places like Starbucks or Panera that have counter service where they're simply taking an order and giving you food. Yes, absolutely. They're providing a service, but it is not the same level of service. And I think that that's the big differentiator, is the level of service being provided. And, you know, maybe a dollar or two to your counter worker if you feel so inclined. But I don't feel that, you know, the pressure to comply with social norms and as far as tipping goes in those situations should drive people to tip in those situations. You know, those counter workers are making a decent wage, at least the federal minimum in some places more. But your servers and bartenders are definitely not making that same minimum wage.
We've been hearing echoes of 20% in this conversation. Is 20% applicable to most services? When should you go lower or higher?
I would say 18 to 20 in any kind of sit-down restaurant setting. More should the server go above and beyond and provide maybe personalized service or, you know, get you a special item that's off the menu or anything along those lines in other situations. You know, I don't think that percentage applies. I think that the original, you know, 15 to 20% that we started with, you know, a long time ago was in relation to sit down restaurants, places like, you know, getting a ride share or a counter service or to go food. Even I don't think that going to that 20% as a standard should be what we look at. Maybe just a couple dollars instead of a percentage.
Let's bring in Kevin in Janesville. Kevin, hi, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Some of the largest tips I've ever left were above and beyond servers trying to make a badly cooked meal correct. Please, everybody, remember, don't blame the server if the cook messed it up.
Kevin, thank you for that. You know, Courtney, Kevin pointing that out in terms of the kitchen staff. What do you make of that?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of the times when people are tipping in a restaurant, they consider maybe food quality as a portion of that tip. However, as Kevin mentioned, the server has nothing to do with the quality of food coming out of the kitchen. I mean, they can act as a gatekeeper and say, I'm not sending that to my table. You should redo it. But they're not making that food, and so they shouldn't be held accountable for that. And, you know, the kitchen staff makes their own hourly wage that is not at the sub-minimum wage level. So, you know, in some cases, there's a wage disparity in the restaurants. And so that can be another kind of aspect of it. But, you know, when you're giving a server 20%, that server isn't keeping that full amount of money. They're tipping out the hostess, maybe the busser, maybe a food runner. They're also tipping out the bartender for whatever drinks were made. And so by the time they're done tipping out all the people who have facilitated the guest experience, they're maybe left with 17% of that, maybe less.
And is it common now at all for tips to be shared with the back of the house, for, you know, tips to be shared with the people who aren't, you know, seen by the customer?
There is, there was some tip pooling legislation that came through saying, you know, if you're pooling tips, then it should be split with everybody who is involved in the guest experience. However, most restaurants have yet to actually do anything about that. I think it was actually overturned because the servers generally feel that that's unfair. And the research, there's some research that has shown that they prefer not to work in tip pooling situations that include tipping out the back of house.
When a restaurant has a no tipping policy, how do you, as a customer, express your gratitude or your appreciation?
That's a great question. Other than a verbal, you know, thank you, and maybe, you know, if you felt the need, you could leave a little bit of extra money. But in those cases where there's service charges, they're generally getting paid a higher hourly wage, and so they don't need the tip money to bring them up to a certain level of a minimum wage. But, you know, a little bit always sweetens the pot and makes you feel special.
Nancy in Milwaukee called in and says tipping shouldn't be an expectation and that they believe restaurant owners should be paying fair wages to employees and that there should be more pushback from the public on the expectations of tipping. Do you see any of that movement, Courtney?
Yes, I think that's a great point. The food service sector is the only industry where employees' wages are paid partly by customers. And so I think that's a little bit antiquated. It also leaves that obligation to customers, which, you know, if the server is bad and the food is bad, then you absolutely shouldn't leave money. I mean, you've worked hard for that money. And if you didn't have a good experience, then it shouldn't be rewarded in any way. But the other thing is about tipping and that culture is there's a lot of negative outcomes associated with tipping for servers. And, you know, eliminating it would go a long way to eliminate some of those negative outcomes.
Courtney Norris with us, Assistant Professor of Hospitality and Tourism Management at Oklahoma State University. You can join the conversation. Questions and comments, 800-642-1234. Tim in Juneau County called and wants to know what the tipping percentage should be for bartenders. Any insights?
Yeah, I think for your bartenders, you know, starting at 20% would be ideal. You know, a lot of people go $1 per drink or $2 per drink is a standard, and that can work too. But your bartender is also providing you, in a lot of cases, conversation, suggestions, information. Perhaps if you're visiting an area and you don't know anything about what's there, they'll provide you that information. And so that conversation and interaction is a little bit more than just making a drink. And so, you know, I would say 20% at a bar, unless, of course, it's terrible. And again, you know, if it is terrible, then not feeling obligated to tip.
The tech company Square says most restaurants automatically add tips to a bill with six or more people in the party. How helpful to servers is automatic gratuity?
It is a guarantee to them that that some of their effort will be rewarded, because there's always, when you go into a situation as a server or bartender, you may not get a tip. You could do all of this work and you could go above and beyond, and at the end of the day, those folks will still walk out and leave you $0. And a lot of times it's a lot easier in a big group to not get a tip, because, you know, the expectation is, oh, somebody else left the tip. Oh, somebody else is taking care of it. And so you may get left with nothing. So the automatic gratuity at least ensures that that effort and that time really is not wasted in a, you know, zero income kind of situation. And yeah.
I hear risk there. What are the risks of working a tipped wage?
There's a lot of, I kind of mentioned earlier, negative outcomes. One of the biggest ones is sexual harassment. Because you're in a situation where that person is basically paying your income, it's almost like you have to put up with whatever is being said or done in some situations. And, you know, in my own research for my dissertation, I asked that same question. I'm like, you know, have you been harassed? And they said, absolutely. I think 17 out of 20 interviews I conducted said they had been sexually harassed. And these are both men and women. And that, you know, you just have to accept it. You just have to laugh it off. You just have to forget it and move on. Because you still have to make money and you still have to earn a wage, and those people pay your wages for the most part. And so that idea that you have to engage in those behaviors in order to make a living is really unfortunate.
In our final moments together, is tipping here to stay?
Unfortunately, I think it is, as much as I, you know, I worked for tips for a long time and I do appreciate them, but you know, there's so many other negative outcomes. Like I said, the sexual harassment, there's discrimination, there's wage theft on the part of the employer, and would be fixed if tipping were to go. Unfortunately, that would take a large scale social change that I don't think we're ready for.
Courtney, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Courtney Norris is an assistant professor of hospitality and tourism management at Oklahoma State University. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.